All right, we're going to call this meeting to order. This will be the May 1st meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District Board of Education. Snowy Seward. I can't tell you how unhappy I am about that. I'd like to welcome you all out this evening. I appreciate your coming out. And invite you to stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
District Mission Statement, Mr. Ilg.
The mission of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is to develop productive, responsible citizens who are prepared to be successful in a dynamic world.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Tressler, would you call the roll?
Mr. Anderson?
Present.
Mr. Castamore?
Present.
Ms. Hull?
Present.
Mr. Holt?
He's excused.
Mr. Ilg?
Here.
Mr. Kelly?
Present.
Mr. Navarre?
Here.
Mrs. Vadla?
Present.
Mr. Arness?
Here.
Mr. Dusick?
Here.
All right, we are at approval of agenda. Before we move on this, please, folks, recognize we're not in a curved situation here, so you're going to have to get your hand out in front of you if you're trying to get my attention. I appreciate that. Or, if necessary, just speak up. All right, you have before you the agenda as proposed for this evening. I have a change. Item 5A, the AVTEC update. I would like to move that up to item C under school reports, primarily because they are all PowerPoint presentations and we'll be down in the chairs anyway, and we might as well get them while we're down there. Any objections to that move? Seeing no objections, Ms. Hull?
And I wanted to add Dr. Darlene Willis as item D in that same category from National PTA.
So you would like that to be 3D?
Correct.
Okay. And would you say the name again for us?
Dr. Darlene Willis.
Okay. Any objection to that? Or any changes to the agenda as sits now? Yes, Mr. Castamore.
I move to remove item 11A, the six-year plan, from the agenda.
Mr. What was that? Thank you. I can't see anybody. Is there discussion or objection to that? Seeing no objection, we are back to the agenda, approval of agenda. With those changes, is there an objection to that?
Well, where's the number that Lynn added, just so I know?
It's item 3D, as in dog.
3D, D, okay.
Okay, we have an agenda. You have before you the minutes from our April meeting. Are there any corrections, additions, deletions to those minutes? Seeing none, is there any objection to approval? Minutes are approved as written. Awards and presentations, we have none this evening. We're down to school reports. What we will do with the next four items is we will move down here because all of these presenters have things to put on the screen behind us. Andy will do Moose Pass. Dave will do Seward Elementary. And then Kathy Lecompte will do an AVTEC presentation. PTA representative. Okay? And I guess you folks can use the microphones and walk across if you prefer, or stand at that lectern if you prefer. However you want to do it, I'm going to be in the cheap seats. Okay? Thank you.
Testing. Okay, Wolf, give me a minute here to let me gain my thoughts, and then you can hit play, okay? So I was talking with Trevin a few days ago, and he said if my presentation wasn't any longer than 25 minutes, I wouldn't meet standard. So I have prepared for you a 25-minute presentation, and so is David. And I have three pages here, and we're going to go through all the content that has to do with Moose Pass line by line. You ready? Wolf? Hit play. Okay, Moose Pass School currently has 10 students, and we depend heavily on volunteer support to conduct any sort of activity, both inside the classroom and outside the classroom. And I can count at the end here, you're going to see many, many adults and organizations that help in our classrooms. And I'm proud to say that most of our volunteers are men. And when you think about an elementary school, to have that many adult fathers and adult volunteers from the community to help out with the little kids in reading or going out and doing sporting activities such as soccer and archery and skiing district-wide, it's quite a treasure. You know, adults and specifically fathers carry so much responsibility in instilling, and so do our mothers too, but I'm speaking for a father as a father, so much of what we do instills self-esteem and the ability to reach academic goals and what have you. Across the board, it's important that adults and of course male adults are present in our elementary schools and all of our schools in general. And I'm proud to say that Moose Pass School has quite a few. We had three goals this year as a school. A first one, of course, was enrollment and coming up with a strategic plan to make sure that we can meet that 10 kid count at the beginning of the year, and how we can advertise our school as an outdoor school, a school that is situated in the outdoors. It's a great jump-off point to Alyeska and numerous ski trails and hikes and what have you. It's a great place to learn science and social studies if you're not familiar with the area. We collaborated with Mark Swanson and his Kenai Peninsula Turnagain Arm area project that he works on. So he goes out there quite a bit and works with our kiddos, both on the trails and in the classroom. So it's a great place to learn outside. Currently, our kids are working on a history project for Moose Pass School, and it's going to be incorporated in the Seward mural project. You're familiar with Seward Arts Council, and they have a mural section of the Seward Arts Council that focuses on putting a new mural up in the Seward area. Well, our Moose Pass kids here are coming up with some research, and they just submitted that to the person who's going to paint that mural, and hopefully we'll see that here in this city soon. I only get to go out there every other Wednesday or so, and I look forward to that opportunity because, well, they welcome me in there. Number one, but number two, I get to play with the kids. And it's a much different relationship, I think, than working at the middle school as well. As you know, I'm also the principal of the middle school. So getting the opportunity to go out there and participate on that level is so important to me in a week. I wish I could do it every week, but I can't. Lately, we finished ski lessons at Alyeska Resort. You can see there. so many fathers and mothers and adult volunteers came out to help out with that. Of course, why wouldn't you want to go skiing with your kids? And now coming up, they're going to be coming into town to do swimming lessons, but most importantly, they're going to be out in the wilderness. They'll be hiking every single day for a period of a week and then coming into town and swimming in the afternoon. So I'll have to be managing those locker rooms on the boys' side. So didn't really go through this thing line by line, but I would like to say that being situated out at Moose Pass and being so close to Cooper Landing and Hope Schools has allowed us the opportunity to compete in sports and activities, something that maybe other schools of 10 or 25 aren't really able to do because there isn't enough people to compete with. So we'll go out there and we'll have a barbecue and play a game of soccer. And there's usually a trophy that goes around, and sometimes Moose Pass wins and sometimes they don't, which is okay. Cross-country skiing as well. We race quite a bit with the neighboring schools. But that's pretty much it about Moose Pass. I will say, in closing, I've got a whole bunch of folks I'd like to thank up here. You'll see in a second. But May 20th, mark your calendar, is the Rural Moose Pass School, Rural School Day, honoring Moose Pass School as the longest-serving public school on this peninsula, which I didn't know. We were honored with, we were bestowed that recognition a few years ago. I believe it's been in existence since the 30s. And I didn't know this, but there's actually a teacherage right above the library, still in existence today. They've since blocked that all off, but at one time they had a pair of teachers living upstairs in the school. Okay, so here are all the people and all the organizations that help us out every single day out at Moose Pass. And I'd like to say thank you. Thank you to the board for giving me this opportunity to speak to you today. And this will probably be my last school report. So I appreciate the school board for all they've done for me and everyone in this room in support. Thank you.
My report might be very short. Well, I'll start out. I'm David Kingsland, the principal of Seward Elementary School. Unlike Andy, this will be my last board report. I'm retiring this year. The district has hired Alan from Soldovia. He's coming over. He's been over twice so far to help with the transition. He'll be over this week as well to talk about with the district's new initiative, Education Element. He's been working with our staff. He's included in the emails and the hiring and the decisions and class configurations. And just sit tight, and I have a PowerPoint, and it'll be coming up here momentarily. The video is going to be about a there it is, a year in Seward Elementary, kind of like what Moose Pass did, go from the fall, winter, spring, kind of highlight some of the things we do at school. Our school runs a full intramural program, running club, basketball, volleyball, soccer, forensics, battle of the books. And we do that all internally. We have a Boys and Girls Club program that meets after school in our school as well. A lot of teachers that work a lot of hours getting things done. Oh, Q&A, I love it. You want a Q&A? Well, yeah. Probably the most memorable is when the school got recognized as the National Blue Ribbon School. Yeah. You know, it's nice to be recognized as the whole school award, not just an individual person award. And then, well, since we're talking about that, The state of Alaska had the school incentive awards program. Only 13 schools in the district, or 13 schools in the state, got that award twice. It was a two-year program. Or it was a three-year program. Only 13 schools got it twice, and it was Sterling under Dr. Ermold. And then Seward Elementary as well got it twice. Nominated for a Title I School of Excellence, and then some other awards as well. I think we all have a couple of those tucked in our back pockets. Sarah, that was good, Sarah. Thanks. That was the BP Teacher of Excellence there. Thank you.
I actually think we're having a district issue with our internet right now. I have an email or a text from Casey, so we may be on hold for a minute. Well, even Board Docs crashed. So.
All right, here we go. And there is sound, too, there, Wolf, if you got a sound volume button up there. All right, well, that was it. That was a year in Seward Elementary.
All right. Parting comment. Spring is a time for renewal, and we'll be going through that at Seward Elementary. As some staff depart, others will come to fill their shoes. Mrs. Barnwell, Ms. Sandoval, Ms. Glass, and myself will all be retiring this year. Ms. Fabian, Ms. Ray, and Ms. Taylor will be moving on to new adventures. And Ms. Bowers will be moving up to the middle school to work with our students there.
These past 17 years have been a truly wonderful time working with your children and the staff at Seward Elementary. I'll miss you guys all over. I started my career with KPBSD at Hope School with Mrs. Dusick up at Hope. And here over 25 years later, I'm back in the district and finished off my career. And I'd just like to thank you all in the district for giving me that opportunity. Thanks.
I think I have a PowerPoint. What a hard act to follow. What beautiful faces in that video. So my PowerPoint presentation? No. No, I'm very low tech. I could put together one like that, but the faces wouldn't generally be so cheerful. They're all covered in masks and lots of flames coming up and around them. So thank you very much for inviting me tonight to speak to you. I'm Kathy LeCompte. I'm the director at AvTech, and I've been there about 6 months. Came in November, and I come to Seward by way of Ketchikan and Anchorage, and a 16-year career in the university system. So I was a campus director and faculty down at Ketchikan at UAS, and then I was an associate dean here up in Anchorage. And I'm a CTE kid. I came through the CTE pathway. I'm a proud alumna of DECA, Distributive Education Clubs of America. Woohoo! And and when I went to community college as a non-traditional student, I went for my Associate of Applied Science degree because I knew that I could get a job when I was done with that one. The Associate of Arts degree, not so much. That was just preparing me for the next step. So I took both of them, and eventually they kicked me out of community college because I had 145 credits, and they said, get out. You can't take any more classes. So I found my way to career and technical education and feel very blessed and fortunate that I have landed at AvTech because that's where my peeps are. I love working at AvTech. I like the people there, and I like the work that we do. Next slide, please. I don't have a button. Ah, awesome. So you all probably know AvTech better than I do. I'm just still learning it. This is my year of firsts. But I just wanted to remind you all that we are a post-secondary provider of career and technical education. And we are a part of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, which makes us unique in the country. Most technical colleges are community colleges or they're part of an educational system. AvTech used to be in the Department of Education, but 10 or 12 years ago came over to the Department of Labor. So we do have a statewide mission, but you'll see in this next slide, if you could move that forward, we very much serve the peninsula and South Central. So you can see most of our students come from Anchorage, Matsu, Kodiak, or the Kenai Peninsula, and then from around the rest of the state. So even though we have a statewide mission, we very much are part of the peninsula and preparing students for work in the peninsula. Next slide. So we have 12 long-term programs and many, many short-term programs. Long-term program greater than 6 weeks, less than 45. Short-term program less than 6 weeks. So those programs run from August to June-ish. They're all different because we're based on clock hours, not credit hours. We're not on the Carnegie unit. We're all about competency-based education and demonstration of mastery of subject matter. So it's not about seat time and credit hours. It's about clock hours and what you know and can do and prove that you know and do things. Next slide, please. So we're very proud of our success rate. We have about a 91%, give or take, it depends on the year, of students enrolled at complete. So when they come to AvTech, they pretty much know what they want to do and what they want to accomplish. And amongst those graduates, about 90% get jobs. Often, they get jobs before they're even done with their program. So they'll complete their... We have students already completing. I've been signing completion certificates because they're off to work. So they're out in the workforce. Next slide. And part of the reason the achievement is so high is because it's experiential learning and hands-on. First, they know what they want to do when they come to us. They are very directive in what they want to do. Our instructors and our staff are very supportive. If you come to Avtech and you want to be successful in your career, we will do everything that we can to help you do that. But most of the time they spend in the lab with their sleeves rolled up and their hands dirty. About 75% of the time they're working on engines or welding or cooking or behind a bunch of servers poking. All I know is that they're tall and there's lots of wires. And they're back there working all the time. So competency-based education, like I said before, we're about what you know and can demonstrate you know. Try and using industry credentials as evidence of that learning, because those third-party credentials are transferable or stackable. They can take those credentials. For example, Certified Cisco Networking Administrator is a ticket into an entry-level job in networking and systems development. So getting that third-party credential, it's also a ticket into the university if they so choose to go into the associate degree program at University of Alaska. So using those credentials as badges or stackable credentials. And then the last is we embed employability skills in the training model. So school starts at 8:30, and you better be there at 8:15. Not 8:30, 8:15. And school's out at 3:30. And if you have to work overtime, you have to work overtime. So we try and help students understand that what we're training them for is not only how to do skills, but how to be a good employee. Which, if you ever ask any employers, that's the number one thing. We want them to show up on time, be ready for work, all of those things. So we embed that in the learning. Next slide. Just a list of our long-term training programs. Applied Technologies, our most popular one, runs with waitlists most of the time, the diesel and the welding. The energy and building trades, the students can take part or all of it for a facilities maintenance combination or a facilities maintenance electrical. Next slide. We have a culinary academy, our baking and cooking. I got to put a little shameless plug in. We have 3 days of Academy Cafe lunches this spring. So if you're interested in those, give us a call. Alaska Maritime Training Center is our largest program, and it has the most short-term training programs. We have 38 Coast Guard-approved courses that are offered anywhere from 2 weeks to 10 weeks to 35 weeks. And then the IT program with our office technologies and information technology. So we got a little bit of everything, crossover. It's applicable to all of the top jobs in the state right now. Next slide. Short-term training programs, these are just a few. Most of these are contract training. Industry and businesses come to us and say we need to have folks that are trained up in how to handle bulk fuels when they come in, when the fuels come in, how to operate the power plants and advanced maritime as well. And these are mostly just contracted classes. Next slide. Okay, this is the part I wanted to talk to you about. I was thinking as I was presenting, I was like, what would I want to hear if I was sitting in your shoes? This is a model that came out of Kathy's head, but it didn't really, because this is a national model of career pathways. And so a lot of places do this around the country, and Alaska's doing more of this, especially with Carl Perkins. There's a lot of that that's already been going on. I have a career in post-secondary education, but I hang around with secondary educators. As the president of the Alaska Association for Career and Technical Education, I've been schooled in what happens in secondary system. So, in working with my colleagues from there, we've thought about how we can make better connections with secondary and post-secondary in a way that's meaningful in Alaska. So this has been an ongoing conversation. I didn't get much traction with it at the university, but I'm hoping to get more traction with it at Avtech. So what it is you've probably seen this before, but it's basically how do we prepare students to think about what they want to do and how can we get them prepared to go on to post-secondary. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be Avtech. It just has to be that next step, you know, coming from secondary to post-secondary. It's a big culture shift. And so how do we help, how do we work together to make that happen? If they do come to Avtech, select the specific training focus, they walk out with technical skills, career skills, employability skills, and life skills. Interesting conversation that I've had with the staff and instructors about vocational education. They really are wanting to push out that they are more than vocational education. It's career and technical education, which is more than just a technical skill, but there's employability skills and life skills and preparing students for the changes that are going to occur in the workplace. So really giving them a broader sense of education than just that traditional, as we've known it for many, many years, 100 years as a matter of fact, vocational education. And then on into the workforce, into careers, whether they are get employed or they take further education or they go into an apprenticeship program. So this looks linear, but it's really not linear, and there's partnerships and there's collaboration and there's all kinds of things that go on as a community of educators that we can help with giving students that opportunity to explore, train, go to work. Then we all know you eventually roll back into the work, you know, back into education, and you're prepared to do that, hopefully. So this is my pathway that I'm hoping that we can have some conversation about at some point in time. Next slide. This is how it looks in a program. We currently have it going on in our maritime program. So we have a youth outreach program in our maritime program. We teach high school classes, Introduction to Nautical Skills, and a Young Fisherman's Program. We also use the same curriculum with a little bit of modification for a pre-apprenticeship program, pre-apprenticeship for our maritime apprenticeship program. But this high school outreach program is available across the state via distance, and it's delivered also face-to-face. So high school students can have access to both of these courses while they're still in high school. And if you would turn to the next slide, I'll show you the next step. So as they move across that pathway, you have the Young Mariner, the Young Mariner program. Then they move into the licenses and certification. So I've heard a couple of different instances where students started in high school. They took the intro courses. They turned 18. They got some sea time, 180 hours to be exact. Come back and take some basic safety training and get an able-bodied seaman, and they're making $250 to $350 a day out on a boat. And then if they want to go on, they can do advanced training as well. So that's all I have. You can do it to the next slide. That's all I have for you tonight. Thank you for your attention. And I look forward to working with you, and I am happy to live in Seward because you're all very wonderful and very welcoming, and I appreciate your welcome. So any questions? Okay, thanks.
Well, good evening. I'm Dr. Darlene Willis, and I am representing the National Parent Teacher Association. And I want to first apologize because I did not remember to take the U out of Faburo, but I was so excited with the snow. I'm from California, and so we don't get to see that all the time. You can tell with my short sleeve shirt that I have on. But I'm so thankful to be here, and I want to thank Lynn for inviting me. I actually came in for the Alaska State Convention that was in Anchorage, and I then have been, this is my second day here in Seward, and I have just had the best experience. I don't think I have been on Facebook Live so much, but I have been telling everyone you have to come here to this city. So I really, really appreciate it. So we can go to the next slide. It's just a greeting. The next slide is a greeting on behalf of Laura Bay, who is our national PTA president. And she's actually out of the state of Washington. But this is PTA's mission to make every child's potential a reality by engaging and empowering families and communities to advocate for all children. And so that's very, very important. So she does send her greetings. And if you would like to meet her in person, every year we have a national convention, and that national convention takes place this year in Las Vegas, Nevada. So if anybody been to Las Vegas before? Well, here's an opportunity to come. It is a wonderful opportunity, and it will be in June. So we invite you to join us all, and all of the PTAs from all over the country will be there in one place in June. Next slide. This is just sort of a, you can read that. It is basically what in National PTA comprises millions, not just some, but millions of families. And that includes teachers and students and administrators and things like that. And so it's very important we all come together with a common goal of empowering families and making sure that our students, that's our main priority, making sure that our students, and I like to call them scholars, Like the last speaker, was in higher ed for 22 years as an administrator and now run college-bound programs. But I volunteer. I'm a volunteer with the National PTA, and I now chair the Nominating and Leadership Development Committee, where I get to travel all around the country looking for leaders. And so that was one of my goals there at the state convention. Next slide. I'm not going to go over all of these, but certainly these are things that the National PTA, we have. I'll highlight some of them. We certainly are an advocate for children, as I said, and school levels and schools at all local, state, national government levels. If you are a member or a chapter within the National PTA, there are required monthly finance reviews. Directorship and property liability insurance is required. We support from the council to the district to the national levels. The other thing that I love about National PTA is that if you can't get somewhere, we have online training modules. And at the end of each of the modules, we're actually able to, you can print out your certificate, and it's really thorough. And we have reflection programs, and which Lynn was very helpful in the one that we had in Anchorage, including categories for special needs children. So for the entire state of Alaska was at that convention. Next slide. So about empowering parents and families, I'm kind of wearing two hats. One is the president and CEO of Empowering Parents and Families, and the other is a volunteer in the National PTA. And we believe it's very important and believe that most parents want their children to succeed. How many, I'm assuming everyone is a parent or a grandparent, because when we say parents, especially these days, parents also includes grandparents, great-grandparents that are raising their children, their great-grands, great-great-grands, etc. So it is our view that most parents want their children to succeed. Would that be right by show of hands? How many of you, every parent, exactly, everywhere I travel around the country, we want our children to do better than what we're doing. We believe that it's important to meet parents where they are. They can't just, not all parents are able to come to the schools. We want to, but when we get home, life gets in the way. And so we're not all able to come out to the board meetings. We're not all able to go on field trips. But if we believe it is imperative that we reach out and go to where the parents are. So wherever those local events are, we know that they'll come out. They'll come out for activities, extracurricular activities, they'll come and support their children. But when it comes to meetings, sometimes we're not always able to be there. So we believe in meeting parents where they are. We also believe in keeping the academic standards high. I'm sorry, excuse my back there. Keeping the academic standards high at all times. And that way, because we believe that children will rise to the occasion. It's only when we begin to start lowering those standards that we then have a challenge. We believe in recognizing the challenges and making the families aware. Once parents are aware that this is what's happening with your child, we do believe that most parents will do something about it, or they'll reach out to find out what they can do about it. I know there are some people that believe that some parents just don't care. And I just don't believe that. And being in the field this long, I believe that every parent cares. Even the parent that's on drugs, when they come off that high, they're asking where little Johnny is. So they do care. So we have to remember to reach out to parents to try to hear that voice. And many times it's not the voice of the parents that always show up to everything. And so it's easy for us just to say, well, we have parents have talked, so let's check that off. But that's not always the case. So again, meeting parents where they are. And last but certainly not least is asking parents and families which path they're nurturing. So you heard tonight about the career tech, that is a path. It's our view that there are six paths. The first one is preparing your child to go attend a four-year college or university. There's over 5,000 colleges and universities. The second path is preparing them to attend a community college or junior college, depending on what you call it. And that's certainly okay, too, where you earn your AA degree or you transfer over. The third path is registering for a vocational career tech program. Nothing wrong with that. We believe that we need more folks, even, you know, having your own business, being entrepreneurs. The fourth path is joining the military. We would just advise that you would maybe go in or consider going in as an officer because the benefits are a little better. The last two, we hope that no parent or family would ever have to endure, but we know that in reality it does happen, and that is going to jail or prison or dying too young before their time. So we like to focus on the first four paths. which are, you know, the four-year college, two-year vocational career tech, and military. But it is a reality. So I asked you this evening, and I asked this board, what is this district focusing on? What are the paths that we're nurturing? I was able to go to have a lovely tour, thanks to David, the principal at Seward Elementary School today, and enjoyed it. Lynn, also, we had dinner and at Seward Middle School, where the students cooked dinner. I mean, it was a delicious dinner and dessert that we were able to enjoy. And I got a little tour, and I just peeked in that room there where it said who was had been accepted to college. That's exciting to see what you all are doing here in Seward. So, again, which path are you nurturing? Next. Just about done. Just want to leave you with the Harvard Family Research Project at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. They said while weighing in on school budgets is important, and a lot of times schools or school districts, when they want to hear from parents, whether they're going through an accreditation, then that's high list. We want to hear from the parents. Or when it's time for a budget, they need to be able to say that, well, at least we had a town hall meeting, and at least we did ask parents. But Harvard Family Research Project said it's, while weighing in on school budgets is important, parents need information they can use, details about what their child is supposed to be learning, whether that learning is on track, and what specifically they can do to help at home. Again, every parent wants to succeed. Last slide. They want their children. So it is our view that today districts and families can help children graduate from high school and have the choice of attending college. Because if you have the choice of attending college, then the other paths, with the exception of the last two, can definitely be an option. It's not a no. It's you were able to say, I think so, or this is what I want. This is just contact information. That's my website, PTA's website as well. And then finally, I will end on one of our family models that I use, and my family has used this throughout. I, by the way, am a first-generation college student, first in my family of five sisters, of six girls, Deborah, Dawn, Dana, Darlene, Denise, and Diana. We're all a year apart, and I have 36 first cousins. Yet I'm the first in my family to earn a BA, a master's, a PhD, and do postgraduate work at Harvard. So I know that it can be done. Cycles can be broken. My parents were very much engaged in my education. So our family motto, and I continue it, my husband and I have been married for 30 years. We have two sons, 26 and 29. And whenever we have grandchildren, we'll teach them this too. And it says, once a task has begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And again, Lynn, I thank you so much. And I thank this board for allowing me to present on behalf of the National Parent Teacher Association and Laura Bay, our president. We thank you.
Mr. Kurtz, we got a text that the web stream is not working.
The audio isn't sounding right, and I think Mr. Soderquist sent you a text message about it.
Uh-oh, better check your text.
Using the wrong mic source, but I don't know how it is connected for sure. I'd like Wolf to double check his settings for it because it's silent, like he has the output mic muted.
It's not a big deal. Yeah. I certainly do.
I did.
You did anything?
No.
Joe?
Brought me back to this.
Joe?
Yes.
Can I request a 5-minute at ease?
Yes. Let's do that. Let's take a big. We're apparently board docs shut down while we were down there. So everybody may have to sign back on.
I just joined.
Because I'm not on it.
Where does it say that I am?
It's actually the whole server. I'm
not.
I'm on.
Where does it say you're on?
Oh, really?
I'm hooked up. If you just hit F5 on your keyboard.
I'll ask for unanimous consent.
It'll reload the page, and if it comes back up,
yeah, I'm not getting any good.
If it doesn't,
I'm
sorry.
Okay, so
it, to me, it's an I'm all mad.
What? Has to do.
At least for my computer.
I can't even get mine to restart.
I don't even know how to shut it off.
Okay.
Oh, it's shutting down.
Okay.
See how easy that was?
That's not the right way, but whatever.
Just give it a second.
Looks like maybe you'll have to shut down and restart.
Check, check.
What'd you do to my cord? My goodness.
Yep, just push that and you're good. You're back. You're good.
I'm back in, Deb.
I have to use the public one.
Yeah, but you put it in
the public. Yeah, the public works though.
No,
it's working.
I.
Yours looks good. You resigned.
Yep,
you
I read.
Did everybody get locked
out? I had Dan sit
yeah,
next.
Yeah, everything froze. The whole like the whole server shut down.
Yeah.
Well, it wouldn't work. Nothing would work.
Yeah.
So it took. It seems to be working now.
It's all right, that won't do anything.
Start your computer to finish and say, I'm going to post it.
Yeah, when you go to restart it, you go down to this little box down here.
I was hoping to get back early from there.
That's right. I didn't do that, okay? So soon.
No, things are still pretty good, but I'm saying.
Remind me, everything's not doing anything. 4 hours.
An hour.
I mean, remind me in 4 hours.
Didn't expect it just
right
here.
Cancel
that. We don't care about that. Okay, good.
So,
see, I like Cortana. As a she keeps coming up and saying, ask me anything. I don't even know this
woman. I don't even know this woman. She's overly friendly.
I don't understand how vendors are.
I think I'd like that.
Maybe. Vendors, like once a year,
okay,
you get something over
like
the city. You can address to the
right.
And then they sent this invoice.
I
got to
go back
city
through the whole
rigmarole.
Really,
just have something in their system. Oh, that sounds good.
Apparently, it doesn't. The whole internet doesn't understand.
You might even have to shut your machine off as it turns off.
I think the board has to log in.
Debbie
back
really
in.
Screwed it up this time.
Debbie, can you? Yeah, because they sent us to log into the school district, and Debbie
yes,
just found it had my name on it, so she's
oh,
so
she
belongs to the city.
Yeah. That happens all the time.
Sometimes we'll get mail for them.
The audio wasn't working right. So, do you have Casey's cell phone number?
She has shut your machine down.
Okay,
log in.
Completely?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Pretty much. everything is just snake bit tonight, I guess. All these computers died while we were down there, and now we have to restart everything because we run the meeting and the agenda off of a set of computer programs. So it's going to take us a few minutes to get back up and running, apparently. Or we might just go to the old-fashioned yays and nays and raise your right hand.
It caused me to log back in and everything. Yeah. But now
it's not. Refreshing.
Typically, I just go back to the meeting.
Log back in and join the meeting. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I shut it off because he's done.
No, that's okay. Better safe
than sorry. Did you see how quick he blamed me?
Yeah.
He did it. Hey, you're the leader.
I know.
But I haven't used anything else.
All right.
Yep. There's other web services.
Yes.
There's other web services.
Yeah.
Very basic. For a cloud service.
Oh, well, okay. All right. It didn't ask if I wanted to join.
Oh, I just took you right back
into
it.
Was on here all the time.
Just go out.
That's on the left-hand
side. So is everybody up and running?
I believe so. Let me make sure Lynn is.
It is. No.
Not.
About what?
Yeah.
Right.
No, not yet. I'm getting there, though.
I'll talk into Dave's microphone. This is Dave's microphone. So is that how much lag you got there?
What is it, function 5?
Okay.
Function
No. They're trying to get the web feed working.
The one over the internet.
You've got to go. No. See?
Gen text
needs. Oh, you should have 4.
Okay, so apparently the web stream's working okay now. So, and everything's still recording upstairs. It was all along.
Okay.
Do you see the agenda now?
Sure. Yeah, but I was thinking.
Okay, we will get back underway, apparently. The mothership thinks we're broadcasting all right. Everything's good. Ms. Bodler.
May I make a comment about the last?
Please do.
Okay, I just wanted to thank all the people who came and presented tonight. It's really difficult to present when there's so many technical problems going, but I know I don't see Andy anymore. I think David's here. Principals, I really enjoyed your school presentations with or without the sound. The pictures showed it all. Picture gives 1,000 words, and what you guys do is absolutely amazing. And I don't think Mrs. LeCompte is still here either, but I love Avtec. My son just graduated from there in commercial electricity, and it was the best thing he ever did. He's really happy. And to Darlene Willis, thank you. I already thanked you. I saw you, but thank you. That was a lot of really, well, I know a lot about PTA, but thank you for coming and spending the time with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you, Ms. Bodler. Okay, we are down to public presentations or comments on items not on the agenda. This would be an opportunity for anyone in the public who wants to speak on any topic that is not on our agenda, because we'll have an opportunity at that point to comment on that. Please. Yes, I guess you'll have to put the microphone back into the microphone slot. But it won't record from that. You have to talk into the microphone.
Okay. My name is Susan Willett. I'm a small business owner here. And first of all, I'd like to see a show of hands from everybody here who supports the swim team and swims in the pool. Thank you for being here. My issue is the proposal that I have learned about that you want to, as I don't know if it's the whole board, but that you want to close the swimming pool for 2 months starting next year. I don't know if it's going to start this year, but I've heard next year. 2 months out of the year because of budget cuts. Now, I understand that there are budget problems, but I have a real issue with it when it negatively affects a community in so many ways as it would here. We have senior citizens like myself who swim in that pool 3 nights a week and in the mornings and during the day. We have Hope House who brings their mentally disabled folks there at least twice a week to swim. They need that. We have disabled children who use it during the week. Now, we expect to see it cleaned, you know, once a year, and it closes down, and Sylvia needs a break, honestly, you know, once a year. But closing it for a month because, you know, budget cuts, you are negatively impacting the community. I called all the people on those banners that hang in the pool that support this swim team, and not one of them was notified of this. They send money to the swim team. They support these kids. And I don't know if you've ever taken the time to go in that pool and watch these children swim. It's their passion. They're good at this. This closure will negatively impact the parents because these kids need to swim during the summer to maintain their training level. They're going to have to go to other pools. There's no other pool 100 miles from here. The closest one is 125 miles from here. They're going to have to travel there so their kids can continue to swim in that month that you want to close this. So I'm going to fight this till the last dog is dead, if you will, because, you know, I need this. I can't run up and down Mount Marathon to get my exercise. A lot of people in this town can't, and that's how we exercise is in this pool. We get in and swim laps. So I'm asking you to give this some heavy thought and look at where else you can cut funds higher up, if you will, before you affect the children of this school and the people who financially support that swim team and who show up at the meets and sit there on the side of the people and encourage at the pool and encourage those children. And the coaches that work with these kids aggressively to make this their passion. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
I'd like to make an observation here. I mean, we saw the show of hands, and I appreciate that you folks are supportive of your pool. But I want to just say this, and I'm not going to say anybody can't get up and say what they want to say. There is no proposal nor recommendation of the sort. It has not been recommended by the administration. It has not been discussed by the board. It's not on the table to close your pool any longer than the standard maintenance shutdown in the summer. Can't tell you that I know what the derivation of all that is, but I can tell you we spoke about it this afternoon in a work session because we were confused. It's not there. It's simply not there. Mm-hmm. Don't know. I can tell you that I have never seen any such a proposal or a recommendation. So, anyway, that being said, we only come here once a year, and I get that, and I'm willing to listen. We need the mic. Thanks.
Good evening. My name's Drew Tarwater, and this individual behind me is Stephanie Shaw, and we're with Apple Bus Company.
Oh, welcome.
And we're excited to be here with you tonight and just hope to share some updates on where we are in our process. And today's an exciting day for us as the first 7 buses rolled off the yard there in Whittier. And if you're driving down from Soldotna or Kenai today, you may have passed an Apple Bus on your way down here to Seward. I hope the board enjoyed maybe climbing on board the brand new bus that was here today and taking in some of that new bus smell. It's always good, right? It's kind of interesting. The process of getting those buses here began actually back on April 9th as the first wave of buses left Kansas City heading towards Seattle. And the lead bus in that was driven by Mike Oyster, our company president. And he was just very excited to lead that charge. And that was the first wave of many. Over the next month and a half, we'll have 6 more waves of vehicles that are driven to Seattle and put on a barge and then transported to Whittier. Currently, 6 of those buses are in Soldotna now, and 1 more back on the way, on the road today. So we're very excited to be here, very excited for that process. Over the last month, we've had an opportunity to meet with all of the drivers. We came out the first week of April, had an opportunity to meet 95%+ of the current driver group, and that was great. We're back this week to conduct interviews and to spend time visiting and learning more about kind of what goes on each day here in the district. Currently on our facilities, we have kind of 3 new facilities. 2 of those are new builds. All 3 will be new locations from current locations here with First Student. So we're very excited about that. Feel that everything is on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. And just really excited to partner with the school district. Thank you guys for that opportunity. And we're excited to be here in the peninsula.
Well, we're excited to have you, and we appreciate it. We got to take a look at the brand new one there out in the yard tonight. And great. Pretty impressive piece of equipment you've come up with there.
Well, thank you guys so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sarah Spanos. I have 2 kids in the Seward schools. They both participate in Seward Tsunami Swim Club, and 1 is a high school swimmer. I understand that what you said, that if the school being or the pool being closed for 2 months in the summer isn't on the table, please take our comments for future discussion if it is down the road. Susan said the community uses it quite a bit, and so does the TYC, our local teen and youth center. They use it in the summertime, Tuesdays and Thursdays, for bringing their summer camp kids into the camp into the pool to exercise throughout the summer. And then also, even though our club is seasonal, kids are driven on their own to go in and keep active in the pool. So I would strongly encourage you, if you can, to keep the pool open 11 months out of the year and have the 1 month for maintenance. I would also like to thank Andy for his years of service at the Seward Middle School. He's done a great job, and we wish him and Heather success down the road. David, thank you for the many years. You saw both of my kids through the elementary school, and you did a great job. I think we did almost a decade on PTSA together. I think I should almost get hazard pay for listening to Trevin's high school reports, but that's a whole other topic. Love you, Trevin. Finally, I want to thank the board. You guys, this is a lot of time commitment for you to represent the district, and I appreciate everything that you guys do. It might be a thankless job at times, but I appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Connor Spanos, and I'm a freshman here at Seward High School. I swim on the Seward High School swim team, play varsity basketball, and I also am a varsity track athlete, all the while maintaining a very high GPA. What makes me different, I guess, is I still continue to swim on our swim club here, and I wake up at 5:50 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings so I can get a practice in, because I cannot practice with my actual team since I have other practices to attend. This summer, I was invited to practice with the Peninsula Piranha Swim Club, but I cannot do this as my work schedule does not allow for this. Keeping active in the pool is crucial for my swimming career, and as I am getting older in my high school career, training for my goal of placing at state becomes much more important, and without training in the summer, I feel like this goal would be impossible to achieve, and as I cannot swim very much during the school year, as I have to attend other practices for other sports, as I said before. With these reasons I have brought to you, I hope you consider keeping the pool open more here in Seward, as I and hopefully others could benefit from this. Thank you.
I'm Micah. I'm the chair of our local Seward Schools Site Council, and it's possible that you guys don't know what's going on with Seward Pool, but I know that administration has told us at our site council meeting, the last meeting, that it could even happen this summer, and that because of a custodian retiring, level 3 custodian retiring, that they were looking to hire a level 2 custodian, and that would then cause due to the number of work days, our pool to be closed as soon as this summer. That has since changed since our meeting, my understanding of it. But I do know this is being discussed. This is something that was initially proposed to our site council as something that could happen as early as this summer. It looks like I've been told by administration that it is being considered for 4 schools. The schools have been named for next summer. So I don't think we're all here on wasted effort. We think our pool is very important, and it is being discussed at some level. Maybe not the school board level yet, but I think it's you are who we can come speak to, and it's important that we're here and take this time to listen. Anyways, it is being discussed at some level. I'm not sure where, but it is important, and our community uses the pool, and I understand budget cuts. I understand we're in big budget difficulty times. I don't want to see our pool being closed when other pools are left open. Our pool is already the only pool in the district that I'm aware of, except perhaps Seldovia, that's closed for an entire month. When I called around all the pools in the district, some are not closed at all. Some are closed for a week here and there for maintenance. Ours is the only pool that is currently closed in July. That's just normal. And now we're looking at June and July and possibly 3 other schools being discussed. And if schools have to be, school pools have to be cut, I want teachers more than pools personally, but if you have to make these kinds of cuts, it needs to be district-wide. All pools need to close for the month of July, not just Seward's pool, because this is our only pool in the area for 100 miles. It is important. Equity is important. You guys have beat that into me, foundation formulas and everything. It's important that it's fair across the district. It's not just how many people use that pool. It's how much that pool is valued to the community, and give us a chance to look for other sources of funding, maybe user fees where the city of Seward can step up. But it is important, and we want to engage in this conversation if it is a cut that needs to happen.
Thank you, Micah. By the way, I apologize for cutting you off at the work session this afternoon. You just got the chance. Our dinner was getting cold. Anyone else?
Oops.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Linda Corbin. I've lived in Seward close to 36 years now. My children went to school here, and now my grandchildren are going to school here. All three of my grandchildren have learned to swim in the pool. I'm not going to repeat a lot of this because I echo everything that the previous speakers have said about keeping our pool open. We don't have a lot in Seward, and that pool is instrumental for a lot of us. As Sue mentioned, it's therapeutic, it's also educational and recreational. It provides a big amount of positive energy in this community, and we'd like to see it remain open. I don't know. I know budget cuts are hard, very, very difficult. And I know eons ago, even before I came to Seward, and some of you here and some of you on the board may remember this, but a $100 assessment was assessed on every taxpayer in the state, and that money went to education. That was before oil. Well, oil has gone dry up here. So is that maybe something we could look at doing again? Maybe just in the borough, maybe not statewide. But $100 per taxpayer is not a lot, and it would certainly bring in some revenue. And this is for education. This might replace the 2.5 teachers that are proposing that we lose, or the board is proposing that we cut here in Seward. Maybe this would help. Has anyone looked into that? Is that something we might pursue? Also, as far as keeping the pool open, has anyone contacted the city about perhaps putting some more money into the pool as part of what they do? That might be something that we could look at. These are just suggestions and my thoughts. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for all that you do for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jonas Federsky, and I'm a general manager for one of the companies that sponsors the pool and the swim team that's hanging in the pool. And while this may not have gotten to your table yet, when it does, it is important to note that the community needs this, and businesses are happy to support. And like the previous speaker was just saying, the community is willing to come together to find a way of keeping the doors open. And I could speak on behalf of the company. I can also speak personally. When I came to Seward very young, I had been very active in the swim teams up in Anchorage. And having the Seward Tsunami swim team available for me here to continue my training was a nice leg to stand on to keep consistency when you're making those changes when you're young. And we can have more of this conversation if we need to, but the bottom line is that the community and the businesses do support whatever we need to do to keep the doors open. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Tall for that. My name's Richard. Jacoby. I've been living here in Seward since 1992. I don't want to drag this out too long. You guys already get a sense how much ground fire you might draw by trying to close down our pool. But just to sort of tie into a couple other points here, we heard from the National PTSA. We heard from Kathy LeCompte with AvTech. There's a lot of users for this pool. Hats off to Connor here. It's a bold move for a young man to come up and speak in public like that, and I'm proud of him for it. We've got guys like Connor. There's kids on our team that are literally competing at a national level. Maybe they'll go to the Olympics. Maybe they won't. That's certainly a possibility. Certainly it's something that could carry them into college. So it carries them into other things. AvTech, I know, got to go here in just a little bit, but it's actually going to be doing training down our pool here in the next 15 minutes. So you got a lot of users here, and closing down that pool is basically shuts doors. It's an important thing between education for the young kids. We saw in Jason's slideshow, their little kids getting their first swim lessons. It's a harbor community. It's important that kids know how to swim. Anyway, you guys get the point. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Jen Howe, and I teach kindergarten at Seward Elementary. And I just wanted you guys to be aware of something that's really rich educationally going around in the district, because I wasn't sure if the board knows about it, but the art curriculum was redone last year, and they had funding to integrate, to bring integration into all the schools around the district. And in 2012, I graduated through Lesley University in integrating arts in the curriculum. And there were probably about three or four cohorts total that, and a lot of whom teach in our district, who receive their master's degrees in integrating arts. And it spans storytelling, music, dance, kinesthetic learning, art and technology. It covers many, many different areas. And so Debbie Harris reached out to a lot of us who have our master's in integrating arts in the curriculum, and we were able to go into our class, into different teachers' classrooms, and demonstrate drama and movement. And it was just, I just really wanted to bring it to your attention because it happened all over the district, and it's just a really exciting thing, especially as we're moving into personalized learning and blended learning, because it is, it's a type of learning when you're integrating arts into the curriculum where you're reaching all those, the goal in personalized learning is to reach all of everyone's interests and their ability levels, and it automatically does that. It's a really powerful way of learning, and I also just appreciate the opportunity to reach out internally in our schools. It's a way of, with all these funding cuts or budget cuts and stuff, I think it's a great resource that we have in our schools because there are so many teachers with their master's in this. So I just really appreciate the district reaching into our schools and looking at the talents of our teachers and seeing how throughout the district, we're able to influence our own schools. And I just had so much fun working with all the teachers in our school and the children. The 2 days that I got to work in the different classrooms was really, really powerful. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you for coming to Seward.
Thank you.
I'm short enough to use this, Rich. Maya Moriarty. I've lived in Seward since 1997. I've talked to some of you guys in the past, either here or over in Soldotna. I'm a business owner who sponsors the swim club. And also we participate with AvTech with their apprenticeship program, and we participate with the school with their OJT program. One thing I want you to keep in mind when it comes to the pool that hasn't been mentioned is that Seward really doesn't have a lot of activities for the kids. We don't have the bowling alley anymore. We don't really have a movie theater anymore. Through sponsorships and grant programs, there is a winter movie series on a Friday night only. So the ability for kids to really get out there and do other things besides hike and swim or participate in sports kind of gets limited. So when you look at your side of the peninsula and our side of the peninsula, we have the one pool. So I think as a wellness and an access to something positive in their lives, it would be detrimental, like Susan and everybody else said, it would be detrimental to the community if you brought that on the table sometime in the future. Thanks.
Hello, Hello, my name is Christy Terry. I have six children. Two have been through the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and four more are still in the district. Thank you for coming over this evening. We appreciate it here in Seward. I wish you could come over more often during the year. I wanted to specifically come today. Oh, I wanted to mention also that I'm involved in the Key Communicator program, so I attend those Key Communicator meetings. I wanted to specifically thank Dan Castamore. I looked at the minutes from the last meeting, and I don't personally know him, but I very much appreciate him coming up with a number of suggestions on how to cut the budget that does not affect the parent-to-teacher, student-to-teacher ratio. I think that as we move into this time of really taking a look at our budgets, we need to concentrate on academics. And I wanted to specifically ask the board to go back and look at the amendment to the FY18 budget to reduce expenses for school board members' insurance. I want to thank our local representative, Lynn Hole, for voting in favor of that motion to amend that. And, you know, as you all look at the students and the teachers and you look at these pretty pictures and you say, yay, everyone's doing a great job, I don't know how you could look at their faces and not take some cuts to your own benefits for being on the board, and maybe take a chance and look in the mirror and see why you're serving on the board and what your personal, motivations are. Thank you.
Anyone else? Going once? What?
I don't have a mic. I guess I
can. Your mic is dead?
Oh, there. Oh.
It's on now, I think.
Okay. I just wanted to say, while it's true there's currently no official proposal or recommendation to close the pools this summer, I appreciate everyone coming out. It's important, you know, that we know that we hear your voice about how important the pool is for the Seward kids in our community. Because of the state financial situation, the board asked the administration to look for ways to tighten our belts so that we could economize. If the Alaska Senate does make good of their commitment to cut education at the level they're proposing, this won't be the only thing we'll be considering. You know, when they make that decision, we'll be looking at other things to cut. We did discuss the possibility of this closure and other belt tightening during our board discussion this afternoon, but it was not an official proposal. Some of you may not know that the school board and district does not control our revenue. Our funding is from the federal, state, and borough governments, and we have to make do with what they give us. So please contact Senator Michicki, Representative Chenault, any other legislators you know, and our new Assembly Representative, Ken Carpenter, and to support school funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hole. And now we have our local celebrity, Ms. Stephanie Cronin, Alaska State Teacher of the Year alternate, as well as, just recently, the BP Teacher of Excellence for the state of Alaska, for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District for 2017. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to start out by saying thank you to Trevin Walker. It's National Principals Day today, and so I'd like to say thank you for everything you've done for me personally, as well as for our school and our school district. And also, David Kingsland, happy National Principal Day, and any other principals out here. I'd also like to say thank you to the board members, to our teachers, to our community members, parents, our union members, our support staff, everyone who's been contacting our legislators and writing letters, emails, and even going to Juneau to show your support for public education. I think it's really important. and also for fighting for a long-term, sustainable funding source for education. Our kids deserve it. A strong public education system makes a difference. I didn't always know I wanted to be go into the public education system and become a teacher. I went to college to study economics and statistics and mathematics. Thought I'd make it big in the business world. So I graduated from college, I moved to Alaska, and I applied at CH2M Hill. And I had my first interview, and it was a success. Then I had my second interview, another success, and they called me back for a third. And I knocked it out of the park. So imagine my surprise when a couple hours later they called me back and they said, sorry, you didn't get the job. I was crushed and devastated, and I thought, oh my, I'm never going to get a job ever. I'm going to have to go live in a van down by the river. But so as I sat there pouting and feeling sorry for myself, the man called me back again, and I think he called to clear his conscience because he said, I have to tell you why you didn't get this job. You were perfectly qualified for the job, but when we asked you what you like to do, you said you like to engage with people, you like to help people, you like to be active, you like to hike and bike and camp. This job that I had applied for, he said I'd be sitting in a cubicle for long hours every day, and that I would be in very little human contact. And so he said, we just didn't think you'd be happy, so we didn't hire you. Not sure if that's legal, but he did tell me that that was why they didn't hire me. So I thanked the man, hung up, and I did some serious soul searching, and I thought, well, maybe I was in the wrong line of work. And so I really sat down and thought about it, and I decided, what do I really want to do with my life? And I decided what I really want to do is make a difference. So I went back to school and became a certified teacher, and I've been teaching high school math ever since. I wish I knew the name of that man so I could call him back and tell him thank you for this opportunity, because I don't think I would have gone into education otherwise, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I absolutely love my job. I love my students. When I walk into Seward High School every day, I feel at home. The staff members and students feel like family to me. I really love my job. But don't get me wrong, it's a very difficult and challenging job, and I think that it's really important for teachers and educators to take care of ourselves to avoid burnout and stay in love with our kids and our jobs. So what I've learned over the years, to be an effective teacher and to avoid overworking ourselves, teachers need to inspire, not perspire. I may have stolen that from Trevin. but what I've found over the years that it really, truly inspires kids is hands-on, real-world learning opportunities and open-ended problem-solving that whose answers don't fit into neat little tiny multiple-choice boxes. And once you see a kid get inspired, watch out. You just got to step back and let them go, because they just take off on their own. Right now in my Principles of Engineering class, we are currently writing a proposal to try to get solar panels and a wind turbine put up at the school so that we can power the kids' cell phones and iPads and computers. We're working on that with the borough, and there's a lot of red tape that we have to jump through. If we can make this project come to fruition, imagine the real-world learning that these kids are going to have and the sense of accomplishment that it'll bring to them. So we're working with community members, borough members, conducting surveys to estimate costs, the cost savings that we can, since one of the places we can save on our budget, calculating wind loads, kilowatt hours, etc. These are the kind of activities that really inspire kids. When you inspire a kid, you see that underachieving kid suddenly become a shining star, and it's pretty amazing to watch. Some of our inspired kids from this little town of Seward have gone on to become rocket propulsion engineers at SpaceX. They've become CPAs, biologists, teachers, doctors, business owners, construction workers. In fact, one of our business owners working for one of them here. So, and I think that teachers, and that means all educators, paras, secretaries, custodians, administrators, everyone, it takes a village. They make a difference for our kids and their futures. Throughout my teaching career, I've had lots of evidence of this, that we do make a difference in kids' lives. I've had kids send, former students send me cards and letters and saying thank you. And just recently, I had a parent call me to tell me about the amazing things that her daughter is doing. She graduated 2 years ago, and she's currently a regimental sergeant major. She's been promoted really quickly, and she didn't have a really easy time in high school, but she's incredibly successful now. She, in fact, just met Vice President Joe Biden, and she's been invited to a dinner party with Prince William and Princess Kate. So a big deal. But her mom called me to tell me thank you, and she said that you had a big influence on my daughter, and she wouldn't be where she is today without you. We both ended up in tears on the phone at that conversation. But anyway, recently I had a Seward High School graduate who just graduated from Stanford a couple years ago come to observe my classrooms while she was on spring break. She wanted to see what's going on at Seward High School. She's currently teaching physics and environmental science down in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have had a couple of students recently contact me, two different students from two different sides of the country contact me to show me how they're using the math they learned in my classroom on their job. And they said, share this with your current students so they can see how they're going to apply it later on, and tell them to pay attention. Right now I have a student who's taking a break from his studies at Purdue, and he is volunteering in my classroom. He comes in twice a week for about an hour and a half, and he tutors math and engineering in my classroom. That's what he does on his free time. He just graduated last year, and he's so helpful. I've also received in the past month several college graduate announcements from former students. And I'm telling you all of this because I think it's testimony that our students graduate from our schools. They're prepared to be successful citizens of our world. And I think that that we need to appreciate that and to realize that teachers make a difference and that public education makes a difference. So that's why I think it's so important that we continue to support public education and ensure long-term sustainable funding, because the future sits in our classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you for everything you do.
You make the rest of us look good. No, before I think we move on, let's take a 5 minute at ease. Okay. Communications and petitions, Mr. Dusick. That where we are?
It is, isn't it? Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. In the information packet for you is the updated strategic plan after our last round of input from site councils and school administrators. Please provide me any feedback by May 19th. I'll send you an email reminding you of that. Send it directly to me, and then we will have that as an opportunity to discuss at our work session on June 5th with potential approval even coming on June 5th. A few things, important dates. Today is, you've heard, National Principals Day, so shout out to all of our principals. Tomorrow is National Teacher Appreciation Day. Wanted to thank all of our teachers for all of their hard work that they put in this year in particular with a lot of uncertainty. The whole week is our Student Nutrition Services Recognition Week. You probably saw that email that I sent out. So if you see one of our cooks out there or food service workers, please thank them. Several things coming up. Next week is School Nurses Day. And then our last student day is May 24th with our teacher's last day on May 25th. And then we have a board meeting on June 5th and June 6th. That's what I have for you with communications.
Thank you, Mr. Dusick. Questions? Seeing none. Representatives selected by the following: advisory committee, site councils, and/or authorized student support organizations, KPAA, KPEA, KPESA, or the Borough Assembly.
Oh, it doesn't. Oh, there we go. Patty Serwa, president for KPESA. The snow is really piling up out there, in case you didn't go out and check, so I'll try to be quick. First of all, I would like to say thank you to Christine Ermold. Her and I have been working closely together recently and getting some things knocked off our list. So, it's been very good, and I want to thank you, Christine, for working with me and taking care of the easy stuff. We've got some hard stuff ahead of us, but we'll get through that, too. So one thing that I do want to correct from something that I heard this afternoon, Matt Sioux School District is not looking to outsource student nutrition. They were at one time, and I did verify this after I heard that. I had already heard it last Wednesday that they were no longer looking at outsourcing student nutrition. I did verify. They found that it was not going to be a cost savings measure. So I did want to set the record straight on that. And another thing that... Here we are in Seward, and Penny Duncan just recently retired. She was 20-year head custodian here at Seward High. I don't think she was head custodian the whole 20 years, but and Trevor shared a story how they celebrated her leaving last week, and they got a new tractor who has now been christened Penny. So I love that. I love that. And what a nice send-off they had for her. Also, on this Friday, we will be coming back to Seward for a year-end barbecue. And that'll be for... We'll bring food. No snow shovel. But that'll be for support staff and for teachers. And, of course, David Kingsland. He's crashed it for quite a few years. I don't imagine he's going to stop now. So now I almost have something written out here. I'm going to try not to read it, but I wanted to be sure to get everything out that I wanted to get out. So as you know, for the past 4 years, I've had the honor and the privilege of serving as the president for KPESA. The support staff of our district, they play a special role in all of our schools. They're often the first professionals that students encounter when they walk into a building in the morning. And we make sure that they are safe, that they have healthy lunches and breakfasts in some schools, and clean facilities. It's a good way to start their day. Support staff, many of us work two or three jobs, but we work in the schools because we care about kids and we care about our communities. And I also want to talk to you about just basic fairness. The president of the Teachers Association is considered an employee of the district. However, the president of the Support Association is not. You, the school board, have told me many times that you respect the classified staff. You have the ability and the opportunity to fix this imbalance. You can demonstrate this respect by giving the next president, and our president-elect, Rachel Sinclair, is here tonight. And by giving the next, okay, you can demonstrate this respect by giving the next support staff president the same respect and dignity afforded to the Teachers Association president. So this might be David's last school board meeting. This is my second to the last. I have one more to go. That's because, of course, I have not run for re-election, and I also am going to retire. I sincerely hope, though, that you will consider what I've said tonight and that you will take action at the next school board meeting to make this right. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Good evening. My name is David Brighton, president of Kenai Peninsula Education Association. Could you not hear me? Sorry. You guys know who I am. There's a lot changing here in Seward. Principal's retiring. I'm kind of excited we're stealing Jenna Fabian for my kids at Mountain View. And I suppose we might as well extend the barbecue to Trev and Andy as well, since David likes to come to that. And just to clarify, it's David's Kingsland's last board meeting. David Brighton will be coming to more as long as he doesn't die in a ditch on the way home. I'm a little worried about the snow, so I'll just mention quickly that teachers are really concerned about the budget. I've been contacted by the press a couple of times. If you hadn't heard, we are going to do a couple of rallies trying to raise that issue and put a little pressure on the legislature, hoping that they can pass a status quo budget. We'll be reaching out to the borough as well, although we're almost out of time on that. But I thank you guys for your work, and I know how difficult it is. I've been talking to, you know, as many people as I can, and when they talk about, you know, what the district is doing, what the school board is doing, I'm very clear. The school board and the district don't have any control over their revenue streams. And so I'm glad that we've been able to stand together. Peggy Erkinoff and several teachers, we've been working closely together. I've been working with Sean throughout the legislative session to try to advocate for our children, because the cuts that the Senate are proposing are draconian. There's no other word for it. So thank you for your time. Have a good evening. Drive safely.
Thank you, David.
I'm Micah Van Buskirk, site council again. And like every year, I'm going to mention to you how important our schools feel that the low pupil-teacher ratio is critical. Our schools have 10 or less teachers. Elementary school has a little bit more, but we're losing two teachers at our elementary school. And we're losing almost a teacher at the middle school, and none at the high school just because of an increased enrollment there. But in schools where there's so few teachers, that PTR formula is so important. For us to lose half a teacher is huge. So we encourage you to find, even in these times, to find a way to cut the budget that's not directly affecting those teachers and student relationships. My kids are in elementary school, so that's all I know, but I do know that teacher, working with 26 kids in the classroom, it is extremely difficult to make sure each one of those kids learn their times table or understands fractions. Kids are getting missed, and we can't increase that anymore. Our schools have some of the lowest PTR in the district, and
some of the best test scores. I don't want to keep them that way. You guys paid for a really great set of research by Hanover Research last fall. They iterated that the lower the PTR, the more successful your students are going to be. And I encourage you guys to look back over that. Not just did they say that the lower the PTR, the better for the kids, but that the to do some sort of funding, programmatic funding, like truly what subjects do you want to be successfully taught in each of your schools. That was a great study. I enjoyed reading it, but I have concerns with all the PTR increases and the possible future budget cuts that are coming. And I was really pleased to see Dan Castamore's proposals at the last meeting. That was almost $400,000 worth of cuts that got turned down. And I think they were really creative, really interesting things we need to start looking at. We've got to make cuts in other places other than just not just the PTR. That those teachers and those kids is what education is. And the other 20% of what's going on is important, but it's not as important. And I guess that's all.
Thank you, Micah. Anyone else in any of those groups? Seeing no one, superintendent's report, Mr. Dusick.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Starting out with students, wanted to again congratulate our winners from the Caring from the Kenai, Annie Hondell, Captain Conservation. You can see that on the website. And we did, for the first time, have a top 12 finalist from Seward. That was fantastic. Good to see that Seward is fully engaged in that. Also, with staff, we've heard about Mrs. Cronin. Congratulations again on the BP Teacher of the Year for the district. And also the other four teachers were honored last week. You did hear also Jenna Fabian is going to be our next Mountain View assistant principal. So she'll be moving from Seward. Skyview Middle School, the counseling program has earned the National Counseling Certification Recognition Award, and that thanks to Natalie Kant. Wanted to point that out, and hopefully she'll give you an update here in the fall about exactly what that program is all about. I know she's talked to you before about it. And then our staff is going to have an opportunity June 5th through 7th to participate in the Digital Teaching Initiative Network Conference. That's the grant that we've been involved with the last 3 years on distance education. It's going to be in the Kenai Peninsula. There'll be some more details coming out soon. I wanted to thank Mr. Pottis and Mr. O'Brien for their work on that. From a state and legislative standpoint, on May 9th, I'll be attending the Homer Chamber of Commerce meeting with the Commissioner of Education. He'll be presenting to the chamber. And then legislative update, again, it's kind of at a standstill as the positions are being solidified. We're working very hard to influence that 5% cut that the Senate has recommended, and we'll see where that goes, but it could be a while. So we'll see what happens there. From the district standpoint, we are in the process of developing our personalizing learning councils. Those are leadership teams with all of our schools that will be focused on personalizing education with our students, and we will be getting some of that training in our Wave 1 schools this week. So many of our larger elementary schools will be participating in that. Over the last month, I have been to Juneau as a part of the Superintendent's Association fly-in. I participated in the Alaska Challenge Teacher Excellence Committee, and then also participated in some ESSA updates from the state. This past week, we also had the Alaska School Activities Association board meeting was in Homer. I was able to meet with them and talk about some of the activity issues that we have in the district, particularly hosting state events. Hopefully we will get the bids on that next time. Also, BP and the Masonic and the Caring for the Kenai Awards ceremonies were held, which is always probably the best time that I have during the year, is attending those type of activities, because it's about honoring the excellence in our school district, and we have tremendous kids and tremendous staff. Upcoming will be many retirement and award ceremonies at our schools. I encourage you to attend those so that you can thank our staff that is retiring, and then also see the kids as they collect those scholarships. It's just amazing. We earn, I'd say, over $1 million a year easily with our students and scholarships across this district. This week I will be attending the National Superintendents Association meetings, and then next week will be some personalized learning meetings. And then on May 19th, I wanted to bring this up. The Seward Chamber is going to have the executive director of the state chamber here on May 19th. I think that's an important chamber meeting for people to attend, because, as you know, the state chamber has endorsed 3 straight years of education cuts, all the way up to 15% over the next 3 years. And so I think it'd be important to attend that chamber meeting to maybe ask some questions. And then also, I'll be attending graduations every night from May 22nd through the 25th. And I'm proud, I guess I'm just going to say it. Congratulations, Brian Dusick, on your impending graduation. Next year, I think this is exciting. This is my last little piece. September 20th through the 23rd, there'll be approximately 45 to 50 superintendents in Seward as a part of the, Alaska Superintendents Association, and probably another 30 or so district office administrators that'll be here, because we're going to have our conference here in Seward. I got to select and I picked Seward. So, I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that, having education professionals here as we meet and work on some professional development. Also, are working with the legislature for next year. That is my report. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Questions for Mr. Dusick? Seeing none, we have the March finance report. Mr. Jones.
Yeah, you have in front of you the report through March, 75% of the year. When we look at our two main revenue sources, the state and then the borough, those are both at 75%. Overall revenues are at 63% because of the in-kind revenue, and TERS and PERS aren't adjusted till the end of the year. So revenue-wise, we're really right where we're supposed to be. Expenditure side of the budget, we're encumbered at about 80%, again, about where we're supposed to be. And so, we're looking good as far as, through March in our finance.
Questions for Mr. Jones. Quarterly budget finance, or transfer report, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, as you know, the buildings have the ability to transfer funds, and then anything up to $50,000, the superintendent has the right to authorize those funds throughout the year. And what we do is then, by policy, bring those to the board on a quarterly basis. And so what you have is the quarterly budget transfer report that we do. When you look at it, a lot of the transfers that are in here this time are due to, we do a lot of budgeting at the district level. As an example, when you look in the budget at the start of the year, curriculum, supplies and materials, it's in one place. And then as the year goes on and we look and say, okay, we need to give this school, you know, these amount of books, and that school this amount of books, the transfers that you see in here related to curriculum then are as we move those out to the school level at this time of the year. You also see in there the quality schools grants and some career tech ed is where a lot of those transfers went to. Then some of them are just the buildings adjusting their budgets as they saw a need to change during the year as well.
Questions for Mr. Jones? See no one. Board reports. opportunities where board members represented the board. Go ahead, Ms. Bodlin.
Yeah, I went down to Juneau for the spring fly-in with AASB, and while I was down there, I was on the June Memorial Nelson Scholarship Committee, and there were 178 scholarships that we scored, and it was amazing how many exceptional scholarships our applications our kids wrote, their essays, and the Kenai Peninsula did quite well as far as how many students entered and where they placed. I also have been working on the Kenai Peninsula Borough School Board Handbook Committee, and we met on April 7th and April 24th with the
Any? We don't have committee reports next.
I'm not committee reports. You have to do that one for me. Excuse me, but I attended those meetings on the 11th. I attended the student celebration of art at the Kenai Fine Arts Center, and I have to say our school district is producing some amazing art. I was absolutely blown away with the quality and the diversity of the art that was presented there. And I attended the board information committee on the 13th, and on the 20th, I went up to Anchorage and was part of the Governor's Education Challenge, where we worked on student. I was on the Student Learning Committee. Thursday night, I don't know the date, the 27th, I went to the BP Teacher of Excellence, and that was very joyful, and it's amazing what the five teachers do, and congratulations to you. That's amazing. I attended the EL, the English Language Arts Curriculum, by Skype. It was a startup meeting on Friday the 28th, and I can't remember anything else, so thank you.
Anyone else? I can see a hand. Go ahead and talk. I can't see who it's attached to.
Oh, I'm not on? Hello. Am I on now? Since I was sick last month, I didn't give this report, but I attended the National School Board Association conference in Denver, Colorado. Just some of the seminars I attended were on board communications, school security, board superintendent relations, and effect of poverty on education. Thank you.
Mr. Ilg.
Yes, I'd like to report that I, on April 4th, participated in the Homer High School Site Council, providing a lot of information about our fiscal crisis in the state of Alaska, letting parents, students, and staff know what's going on and what they could do. On April 5th, I spent some considerable time at the local LIO office, Legislative Information Office, if anyone's wondering. You should go there. It's an advocating for testimony for Senate Bill 96. And lastly, on April 6th, I participated in the key communicator meeting that was held at Homer Middle School, which was a hybrid of technology and people in place, and I thought it was quite successful. And that's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Then?
I'd like to report that I attended the AASB Juno fly-in March 31st to April 4th. And then on April 6th, key communicator budget update at Homer Middle School. And finally on April 7th, the First Friday Art exhibit at Paul Banks Elementary.
Ms. Hull?
I attended the two School Board Handbook Committee meetings and the Career and Technical Advisory Committee meetings. Meeting, sorry.
Anyone else? Committee reports. Well, let's start with Mr. Castamore, policy.
Policy committee met today. We focused primarily on AR 1330, I believe, which is room use policy, We've been working on this policy for, I don't know, almost 2 years now, and we're finally getting close to the end, I think. So that was primarily what we discussed, and we also had a brief discussion on AR 3100, I believe, which was something to do with budget language.
Okay. Any other committees have reports this evening? Seeing none. This afternoon, the board met for the better part of the afternoon, with the board policy work session, the governance handbook work session, student nutrition services work session, career and technical education update, Kipsaw handbook update, six-year plan, and the legislative and fiscal year 18 budget update. All of those committee meetings were attended by all of the people present at this meeting. So let's move on to the consent agenda. All of the items I'm about to read will be dealt with at one time. It would be the 2016-17 long-term substitute teacher contracts, resignations, 2017 and 18 new teacher contracts, 2017 and 18 new administrator contracts, 2017 and 18 tentative tenure teacher contracts, and a leave of absence extension request support. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak to any of the items I just read the titles of? Seeing no one, I need a motion. Mr. Navarre.
Move for the approval of item 10A through G.
Thank you, Ms. Hull. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Seeing no objection, the motion is approved. We have, since we removed the six-year plan off the action items, we have no action items this evening. First reading, we have no first readings this evening. Public presentations and comments, another opportunity for members of the public who wish to speak on any topic. Seeing no one, we have no need for an executive session this evening. Whoop, I jumped ahead of myself, didn't I?
Are you driving this ship, not?
Okay, we are at board comments, but as we start into board comments, I am going to remind members of the board that this evening is the swan song for our student representative, and that, in fact, he will receive some lovely parting gifts at the end of the meeting tonight. But I just wanted to remind you in case you had anything to say on that regard as we go through. I'm going to ask that we just start at the other end and work this way. Please don't wait for me to prompt you. Please just... Oh, Ms. Vodla is on a tight deadline, so we will let her go first.
I just want... My parting is thank you for having us here tonight.
Bring the microphone up.
Thank you for having us here tonight. But I really want to thank you, because I've thoroughly enjoyed working with you. You are intelligent, you're poised, you speak well. I was so proud to be with you when we worked with the legislators in Seward, in Juneau, and I know you'll do great things, but I also want you to have fun in college. Is it okay, Sean? And study hard, but it's really, really been a pleasure. So thank you very much for your 2 years of service to the school board. It's incredible. I need a hug.
Thank you, Ms. Vodla. Safe drive, safe trip. Now we'll start from the other end of the table. As I said, I can't even see what order you're in. So please just move this direction.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to tell Brian it's been a pleasure to serve with him the last 2 years. He's a fine young man. He's professional and at such a young age. It's been amazing working with him. I also just want to make a comment that, this is starting my 15th year serving on the school board. I think I'm I think Joe may have more years overall, but I think consecutively I have the most years right now. And 15 years, it's been a long time. It's been through a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of things changes, schools shut down, merges, all been very painful. Most of that time I ran my own business, which meant that I took the time out. I kept a calendar. I have to for several reasons, but up until just the last couple of years, it's been an average of about 400 hours of my time per year. This board is not an extravagant board. We make $180 a month. If you figure that out, it's about $5 an hour. Compare that to the Anchorage School Board, where the president makes $25,000 and the members make $21,000 plus benefits. I've never seen this board be extravagant. I've never seen waste in this board. And I've seen this board work at the administration extremely closely to cut everything we can cut and be effective. And I think it's disingenuous to look at any member of this board as though we have somehow taken from this district. And I know my current provider, I'm lucky I sold my business a couple years ago, so they pay the cost of me being here. But I know when I took my hourly wage and what I gave up to be part of the school board, to make our community better, to make the best our children can have, it cost me personally about $50,000 a year. So I've never mentioned anything in 15 years, but after I heard a few of the speakers tonight, I really felt compelled to say that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. I had some meetings where I wasn't officially representing the board, the Borough Assembly meeting in Seward, and I still wish they would introduce the budget over here like they used to do. Enjoyed the play, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. It was just wonderful watching a group of Seward thespians singing and dancing and talking. I did attend the Alaska PTA Convention and the State Reflections Program, helping present awards to all the state finalists, honorable mentions, and judges' favorites, with quite a number from Nikiski North Star and Nikiski High. I'm going to miss all the great staff we're losing in Seward, David, and everybody else. I too agree if we close 1 to 4 pools, if we end up doing that now or in the future, we should similarly close all pools and look for another solution to keep them open if the district can no longer afford it. I believe the entire board wants to protect the classroom as much as we possibly can. I want to thank Dr. Willis for sharing your time in Alaska with us. It's my first time in 26 years that I recall a national PTA representative coming to Seward. It's been delightful to get to know you. And we're going to stop by Moose Pass School on our way to Anchorage tomorrow. And I'm going to miss you, Brian. You did some wonderful things with students, getting them together and bringing their voice forward. And you were a wonderful delegate in Juneau. And I wish you well in your future endeavors.
I want to begin by thanking Seward for hosting the meeting and, of course, the amazing dinner and performance at Seward Middle School. The students did a fantastic job. Thank you, Dr. Willis, for your presentation. Good luck, Brian, in all your endeavors. I really wish I had the maturity you have when I was in high school. I envision you're going to be very, very successful no matter what you do. So, couple things. Hearing the community members speak emotionally about the role of the swimming pool in their community. And if there's two things that I'm passionate about, it's recreation and education. And so they definitely correlate. And the role of the school district infrastructure plays a paramount role throughout the state and throughout our school district. Just remind the public there's a direct correlation and a direct cost. So unless we have a sustainable funding plan, as it was mentioned earlier, this is going to be the first of many very, very difficult areas that we're going to look at and review unless we have a solution. And so it can't just be the people here at this table making those hard decisions. You all can help us make those decisions as well by talking to your representatives on the borough and state level. The dollars and pennies can only go so far, and our mandate is to make sure we have quality teachers teaching a quality education for our kids. I, too, am appreciative of this board and this administration, and I appreciate you all taking the time to come here and speak as well. Thank you.
Well, I want to say, Dr. Willis, the PTA's mission of family engagement, it's really, really important to the success of our students, and I appreciate what you do, and just keep banging that drum. Get families, parents, grandparents involved, and that's what makes the difference for most students, is to have an engaged family. With the public testimony tonight on the pool, or preserving the PTR in the classrooms, it's great. I love hearing how engaged the community is with the facilities that we caretake, basically, on your behalf. It's imperative, though, that you contact your legislators now, not after the Senate passes a 5% cut, but talk to them. We don't have the ability to generate funds, but you have the ability now to support things like House Bill 115, the income tax that is going to support education, to request a diversified revenue stream for Alaska so that we're not so dependent on just oil. So it's great to hear what you want from us, but after the cuts, it's too late. So call your senators, call your representatives, send them emails, and tell them that they need to value education, they need to fund it appropriately. Because once it's cut, our hands are tied. And I think this board will always try to hold the classroom harmless and support a PTR that provides for the academic success of our students. And that comes with a cost to other things that we can provide right now, the extracurricular and the co-curricular. So it's really important that what is said to us tonight is also conveyed to Juno so that they can provide the funding so that we can provide the services. Brian, so impressed with you. I really have no doubt you're going to go far in life. And really appreciate the time that you gave to serve on this board. Thanks.
I've learned several things during my time on the board, and one of those is people are really excited about pools. If you want to fill an auditorium or a council chamber or anything with people, you just talk about swimming pools. I think the thing that disheartens me the most is we have regularly cut PTR over the last 4 years, and where are the people then? Where are the parents saying that this is unacceptable? If we could get half the interest in people concerned about the PTR that they have in the swimming pools, we'd be a really great district. Brian, just to repeat the sentiments of everyone else, I think you've been a phenomenal addition. You're having the opportunity to spend time in Juneau with you, on many occasions, you were by far the most effective speaker when we went in to meet with the legislatures. You just did a great job across the board, and it's been a real pleasure working with you.
Thank you. I want to start out tonight by thanking Seward for their hospitality again, and Trevor, always, for having your school available for us. I don't know if you put the kids on good behavior, but they're all great, and they even help you out in the hallway and everything. But that's our students throughout our district. So, but thank you to Seward for your hospitality. And before I get to Brian, I want to thank Sean and Lynn for the job they did with their son and his teachers in his schools that made a difference. But, Brian, every achievement that you've made, you've earned it. there's a lot of people that should be there and have been there to mentor you. And I know I speak for every member of the board. If you need a letter of support, we're there for you. You did do an amazing job. And it was, the 2 years working with you have been rewarding for me also. So thank you very much. And whatever you do in life, like a lot of them said, you'll achieve, and only great success. Thank you.
Yes, thank you to Community of Seward for letting us come on down. I don't get to come here enough, and I'm a little bummed I don't get to get the Thai food today, but another time I'll be back. So thank you for all the speakers for coming on down. Mrs. Cronin, congratulations. Your speech the other day was great, and today it was great. It's amazing people who can make math, you know, fun and interesting. I don't know how you can teach it, let alone make it a interesting subject. So that's really impressive. I have Miss Merkus, and she does a great job too. So really, you guys are amazing, and congrats. Yeah, thank you everybody for all the nice comments. It was very nice you guys to say that. I am very proud to be graduating in 20 days, because almost the second, 20 days, 14 school days, I got it all down. So, and I am proud to get my diploma from this school district. You know, I've been here since kindergarten, and tonight was a good example of, you know, you guys, you hear a lot from communities, you put up with a lot, and a lot of great people, a lot of not so great people. So thank you guys for doing that for the last, you know, 18 years, probably more than I've been around. So thank you guys for that, and thank you for all the nice comments. I'm going to miss it. I won't miss everything, but I will miss, you know, everybody here, getting to know everybody. So thank you all so much.
You know you're involved with a classy organization when you've got a young man who's finishing up his 2 years as student rep on the board, and you get him some, as I said, lovely parting gifts, and you bring him to the function in a Safeway garbage or Safeway grocery sack, right? I didn't look at you because you did that. I just couldn't help but notice when I took them out of the bag. Look, thank you, Seward. It really is, absent the snow, it really is nice to come to Seward. At least once a year, I'll have to come over more often than that, but I do appreciate the hospitality, the great meal this evening. While I'm thinking about it, gentlemen, happy Principal's Day. Who knew? I didn't realize it until Mr. Dusick sent out his email this morning, and that was unusual because I generally don't read his emails. Brian, I the only thing I can say about Brian is if his father had 25% of what Brian's got, we would have a truly amazing school district.
I say that all the time, too. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably do. It's been great. It's been fun. I wish you all the best, and I know you're going to succeed in whatever it is you choose to do. We have no other business? So we are adjourned.